And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 11th day of March, 2025. And of course, Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. Jim, how are you doing?
Good morning. How in the world are you? I'm fine.
Well, I'm glad you're...
As far as I know, anyway.
How in the world are you? I'm fine. Good.
There you go.
I'm glad to know that you're fine.
Yeah. fine as long as you don't have one.
As long as you don't have one?
A fine.
Okay, yeah. I got you.
Got a young fellow we know.
Yeah, I was
he's facing one of those. He got pulled over for driving without a license while speeding.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so he's gonna have to cough up some cash somewhere along the line.
Ooh.
On that one.
Ooh. But, yeah. Ooh, that's rough. Now, did he have insurance?
Didn't need insurance, didn't have a license.
Well, that's true, I guess. That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And that won't help you for driving without a license while speeding.
No, that's true too.
Hey, by the way, just speaking of young guys in cars, one of the sad things, we got, you know, an awful lot of fatherlessness in our world, in our country today. And one of the things that gets missing on that is a lot of young men don't learn things like check the oil on your car.
Uh-huh.
We had a young fellow we knew, and he got a car, and he drove it, and all of a sudden the engine seized up because nobody told him check the oil and change the oil.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you got some young folks in that, young men in that, and young women too in that situation, just, you know, drop a hint there. Something. By the way, have you checked oil in your car? Well,
what's that?
Yeah. So
you check the air in your tires.
Yeah. So drop little hints like that and kind of help them learn things without embarrassing them by the fact that they really probably should have known that already.
Now, nowadays, of course, most of the newer vehicles will tell you when it's time for an oil change.
Yeah.
It'll pop up in your little center things as oil change,
yeah.
You know, tires low.
Yeah.
Check your tires, you know. They give you a little reminder.
All the sensor that says the tire's low, because sometimes they lie.
Sometimes they
We had a car, and every time we got wet, it would lie to us about one of the rear tires.
Uh-huh.
Now you got to check them out. Yeah, we're okay.
Yep.
We used to be able to figure that out ourselves. You got that tire looks flat, you check it out, and put some air in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to have your computer tell you. Sometimes I think the computer just does that to see, make you stop the car and go look.
I think so. I really do. I know.
Most of the time I find a nail.
Yesterday, I was, I've been having a check engine light come on my van, and yesterday decided to stay on.
Well, you go ahead and look at it. Yeah, I checked it. It's still there.
It's still there, you know. So
I
went to one of the local auto parts stores. They put their little free tester on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, something to do with the oil sensor thing or something like that, you know. And, of course, all in all, it's going to cost about, you know, over $350 to get it fixed because it's not to be replaced. So, yeah.
At some point.
Well, of course,
it's
leaking oil, so it's going to have to be replaced, or I'm going to continue to put oil in it. So,
yeah, we had a '92 vehicle, and check engine light came on, and so this was considerably after '92. And I took it to a garage fellow I knew that worked and had done some work for us, and he said, "Well, here's what it is."
Yeah,
he says the check engine light comes on. Is you doing pulling a hill or something like that? Yeah, I says, "Well, basically, you got, you know, about 200,000 miles on this vehicle."
Yeah.
And so when you start putting some load on the thing, you got a sensor there that thinks that your engine's missing.
Oh.
And so, you know, unless you get a red light somewhere, just ignore it. It's not worth fixing.
Yeah.
So we drove to Colorado and back twice with the check engine light on.
Hey.
He got it checked out. I said, this is what it is. It's just because it got a lot of miles on it, and you're going to get some lights. And it's not red. You get a red light comes on, and then you stop.
You better stop.
That's right.
Well, Jim, of course, you want to open up with one of your...
I got a little good news thing here. It's interesting. It's from Daily Caller. God makes no mistakes. We knew that already.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Wisconsin School District paid out $20,000 to a teacher that they had terminated. And why did they terminate the teacher? For refusing to use preferred names and pronouns for transgender students.
Mm.
A guy named Jordan Chernek taught English at the Argyle School District. And in July of last year, his contract was not renewed. He said that the district's action violated his right to free exercise of religion and also Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. He has a sincerely held religious belief that God makes no mistakes when it comes to sex and gender, and that calling a transgender student by a name or pronouns at odds with their biological sex would cause Mr. Chernek to affirm that God made a mistake in creating a transgender person as a male or a female. That's what the lawsuit said. Mm-hmm. It was filed by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They said, in Mr. Chernek's religious view, affirming a transgender person's identity through the use of preferred names or pronouns would be speaking a falsehood and violate his religious belief. Well, they offered him a religious accommodation so he wouldn't have to use the preferred name and pronouns, but they didn't require him to use the person's chosen name. And he said, no. So he had two transgender-identifying students in his classes. They wanted him to do that. Case was dismissed in February. They reached the settlement, $20,000 settlement, and there are several teachers fired for declining to adhere to that transgender name stuff, and they've got settlements also. The other thing, too, is that the Argyle School District in Wisconsin should be grateful. In Virginia, a school board settled a lawsuit for similar reasons for $575,000. In Ohio, a school district, a $450,000 settlement, so they really ought to be grateful. This person just wanted his job back and acknowledgement that the folks have been wrong. So he settled for $20,000, which probably more than just for his legal expenses.
Yeah.
But So, you can stand up for yourself. You do have rights on this thing.
Yeah.
And so by the way, for those of you that are interested in this, Brian and I both use masculine pronouns.
Yes.
Our pronouns are masculine.
Yes.
Go with it.
Male, female.
Okay, there we go.
Boy, girl.
As I said, I think last time, God and I had 100% in agreement that they're male and female, and anything else is garbage.
That's it.
Balderdash, foolishness, and perversion.
I was listening, before we take a break, this is why I got it on my mind. I was listening to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Do you remember the little song?
Yeah.
He said, boys will be boys and girls will be girls. Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, that's a good one. I love that. And it's so true. I mean, boys are boys.
A good little,
and girls
little
are girls.
Meme showed this little girl coming up to her mom and saying, Mom, I think I'm really a boy. And she says, no, you're not.
No. Nope.
That was that.
Friends are a treasure from our Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Our spring Thank You Jesus Friendraiser is Tuesday and Wednesday, April the 8th and 9th, from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Thursday, April the 10th, from 6 to 9 a.m. We're inviting old friends to return, current friends to remain, and new friends to partner with us to provide excellent programs and strong biblical music year-round. You can make your faith pledge now online at missionary.radio. Click on Donate and fill out the faith pledge form. Set up your recurring gift through Cornerstone Payment System or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241. Thank you for partnering with 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on this Tuesday morning at 7:13. And Jim Dozier Adams is once again in with us today.
Yeah, I've got to rant a little bit here.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how many of you listeners watched the president's speech to Congress last week.
Watched just little clips of it.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing, and I've got to say, I have never been so ashamed of a body of so-called adults in living memory.
Oh,
if you're if you're a Democrat, that's fine. You can be a Democrat. You can be a Republican, an independent, or something else. Probably we're going to agree on issues and disagree on issues. That is fine.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about disagreement on issues and procedures.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about absolute childishness and rudeness and immaturity, and I just almost run out of words. This whole thing of sitting down there waving signs, and then Mr. Al Green gets up there and rants and raves and tries to take over and gets escorted out by the sergeant-at-arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was censured, and a whole bunch of his colleagues got around him and sang, "We Shall Overcome." And by the way, they should have been censured for bad singing, too. That was awful. But that's a whole another issue. It's just, anybody with the least appreciation for music must have grimaced when they tried to sing that. But anyway, let's get back to this sitting down throughout the whole thing. Now, I will be more than happy to say, any speech given by any president, and I've been through quite a few presidents, the standing ovation thing is grossly overdone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the speaker gets up, clears his throat, and everybody stands and applauds. There are things that need to be acknowledged that way, and it does get overdone. But parking your hiney in your chair, no matter what, including for the young man with cancer, the young woman who was,
yes,
who was crippled by a male in the volleyball game pretending to be a female.
Yes.
Whacked in the head and did, you know, permanent damage.
Yes.
Just refusing to even acknowledge them. Just, you know, that's just disgraceful. And if you'll notice something, about a halfway through the speech, the cameramen quit panning over to watch the Democrats. Even the camera operators were embarrassed,
yes,
by this. And by the way, no matter where you watch this, it's all the same video feed. It's a pool thing. They just have, mm-hmm, one crew in there, and all the media people get the same thing. But this is absolutely disgraceful, and I'm going to make a request of all of our Democrat friends out there and listeners, write your congressman, congressperson, if it's a Democrat, and just tell them, says, that is disgraceful, it is childish, it is inexcusable,
yes,
for adults to conduct themselves in that manner.
Yes.
And maybe you want to say, you know, I'm going to remember this when the primary comes, and I'm hoping you have some opposition.
Yeah.
Because if you're supposed to be representing me up there and your constituents and your people from your district,
mm-hmm,
and that's not the kind of representation we want.
No.
You know, we want mature people who can conduct the business. Dennis Prager has a really good definition. He divides people into conservatives, liberals, and leftists. Conservatives, mm-hmm, and liberals both love our country. They have different positions on the direction it should go in some issues. But if left to themselves, they can work these things out, a lot of them out.
Yes.
Leftists hate the country, want to turn it into something else.
Mm-hmm.
The conduct displayed by the Democrat members of the United States Congress during that speech supersedes, it is absolutely inexcusable. Their mamas need to spank them.
Mm-hmm.
To sit there in absolute rudeness.
I agree.
And... But it speaks ill for the conduct of the business. You know, if you're going to sit down there and no matter what the other side does, you're going to fight it no matter what it is. I've mentioned quite often my friend, the late Rolf Pitch. Rolf was a very liberal Democrat. He and I agreed on salvation through Jesus Christ. We agreed on keep right, accept to pass. And I finally persuaded him to agree with me that Bernie Sanders was shafted in 2016 by the Clinton machine. Almost every other major issue we disagreed on, and we stayed friends for 40 years.
Yeah.
You can disagree and still stay civil.
Yes.
So, you know, if Democrat members of our listening audience, please contact your Washington people and just tell them this is unacceptable conduct. It embarrasses you. It reflects poor on his constituents as well as on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Okay. I have been praying for years that we'd get mature adults in our houses of Congress, but this conduct supersedes anything, even my wildest bad dreams after eating anchovies on pizza, which I don't do because nobody else likes anchovies. I like anchovies. I mean, I don't go out and buy them, eat them just for fun, but if they show up on my pizza, that's fine with me as long as I have a big glass of water because it's kind of like a salty, hairy sardine, and it does make you thirsty.
Oh, yes.
Maybe that's what you do. You feed those sitting down folks sardines or maybe anchovies.
Yeah.
Anyway, just so if you don't want to give your children an example of how not to behave, you can show them what the Democrat side of the House of Congress did on that particular day.
Yeah.
And if you are a Democrat, again, I have no problem with you being a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a problem with that kind of conduct, and you should as well, I believe. So... If you want to get mad at me, then I've had more people get mad at me for better reasons than that. So, anyway, please contact them and let them know that you are dissatisfied with that. And by the way, just for the other side of the house, if you know they do something you don't like, you can tell them. You can tell them that too. You know, we can communicate with them. It just takes a couple of tries because the first time you quite often get a form letter back that says, "Thank you for writing," and they'll say, "Dear Mr. So and So," they'll cross it out and write your first name in. And then at the end, they'll say with their name, they'll just kind of cross it out and you sign their first name, and it's all done by a machine, a computer, and a staff member. So you got to write them at least twice to get through to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. I'm going to be relatively nice. I've got a couple of interesting things, I hope, when we get back from Pen from the Heart.
All
and
right.
Some music.
Sounds good.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Tennessee Ridge, I'm very thankful for Missionary Radio. God bless. From a Clarksville listener, thank you for all your hard work. From Anson, I enjoy Grace to You at 7 p.m. and the creation program After Grace to You. And from Hopkinsville, I'm thankful that Missionary Radio proclaims the truth of Jesus Christ, faithfully lifting up His name and message every day.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Missionary. Missionary Radio.
And a front porch, and it's going to be a beautiful day today, Jim. 75 degrees, up to 75.
Yeah. Spring, yeah, I see this a little later on this year. We get 75, we'll put on a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
It'll be cool. Okay, Gary Bauer puts out a little thing about weekly, and he covers a lot of different things on it. One of the things he's talking about this time has to do with our border situation and the illegal immigration. Oh, illegal, you can't say it. Yes, I can. If you cross the and come into our country without going through the proper procedures, you have broken the law and you are a criminal. And right now, our United States government is trying to get those who have crossed illegally into and are illegal aliens and are criminals and are committing crimes while they're here or came over with known crimes. Mm. They're trying to get them and get them out. And they're getting a lot of non-cooperation. Kristen Noem is our new Secretary of Homeland Security. She was in New York City, visited the subway station where an illegal alien set a sleeping woman on fire and killing her. New York City is a sanctuary city, so local officials are refusing to turn this guy over to the ICE to get him. Yeah. We're a sanctuary city. We can't do that. Huh. Washington, D.C., House Oversight Committee had a hearing on sanctuary city policies, had several mayors from Boston, Chicago, Denver, and New York testify. They publicly vowed to defy federal immigration laws. They're not the least bit defensive. They are defiant in justifying those things. Boston Mayor Michelle Wu asked how much money is being spent on illegal aliens. She said, "I don't know because we don't ask about that." They do not ask arrested criminals about the immigration status. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson refused to say whether he'd turn criminals, aliens, over to the ICE. And he refused to acknowledge it, that, because he's got a 7% approval rating in Chicago, and 67% of Chicago residents said crime was their most important issue.
Mm.
Denver's mayor defends his city welcoming policies. He said that he defended releasing a criminal illegal alien with multiple arrests from jail, and shortly after that, this person assaulted the ICE officer when they tried to take him into custody. Representative Anna Paulina Luna of Florida told the mayors they're all in violation of federal law. And so he's going to, she's referring them to the Department of Justice to see what can be done there. So that's a lot of that's, you know, going, that is going on. But folks, are you an American citizen?
Yep.
Maybe you came into this country the hard way. I've got a friend of mine, and he came actually from Venezuela.
Yes.
Came in legally.
Yes.
And he has his American citizenship, and he was so happy and so proud when that happened. He was wearing a red, white, and like white trousers, a blue shirt, and a red tie to show his seriousness about becoming, how proud he was to become an American citizen.
There you go.
Did it the right way, you know. And but they've got mayors and political people that are sitting there saying, "No, we're not going to do. We're going to defy that. We, you know, think it through."
Uh-huh.
Like New York City, they're now saying, "Oh, we've got the sanctuary city. We've got all these folks in here, and we're having to spend all this money on them. we need more money from the federal, the feds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you're the one that said we're sanctuary. Said, you know,
that's right.
Send them up.
That's so, right.
That's, but that is, it's sort of an insult to all the folks that did it the right way, that followed the rules.
Yeah.
And, it is an issue that needs to be addressed and needs to be sorted out. And say there are a lot of hard issues and hard questions on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so they're doing the simple, straightforward, easy part first. They came into the country illegally. They were criminals. They committed crimes in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Send them back.
Send them back.
And we found out also, I guess about a year or so back, that our government at the time was loading up airplanes in these countries, flying these illegal folks into the country and turning them loose in various cities.
Wow.
You know, and I thought, have you lost your mind?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I'm like you, you know, if you're gonna come into the United States of America, do it correctly. Become a citizen.
Yeah. Or get a green card. My daughter-in-law had a green card for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was a South African citizen. She's an American citizen now, but she went through all the process, took the test, did the study, and the whole bit. But there's a way to do that, and there are legal ways to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And does our immigration system need overhaul? Probably it does.
Yes.
But, you know, we're doing the easy part. The ones that are committing crimes, get them out. Send them back.
Yeah. Send
we
them
don't
out.
Want them back. It's too bad. Well, here's the deal. So our president's, you know, playing hardball with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, I'm sure we'd be glad to have them back and see if straighten them out. You know,
oh, yeah.
Playing some hardball with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let me shift gears here just a little bit. This is interesting. John Stossel, he's a libertarian, actually. But he has an article called The Death of Europe, and it's talking about what the socialist, I'm trying to think of the word, utopias are,
mm-hmm.
like that. Sweden, folks say, Sweden is so nice. Well, if you're a worker, you don't want to live in Sweden because unemployment's 10% there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get fired, there's probably not going to be another job handy around that thing.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, the United States right now is 50% richer than Europe, even though European Union has 100 million more people than we do. A lot of tourists over there, but very little growth. And America's poorest state right now is Mississippi, and that is richer than most European countries right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with a lot of policies. High taxes. Folks say, you know, or tax the rich, make them pay their fair share.
Mm.
Well, what do you do when you run out of rich?
That's right.
Well, then they say, then you tax the almost rich.
Huh.
Then you run out of them,
and
it goes on down
the
from there. In Sweden, the average workers pay a higher percentage of taxes than you do if you make $400,000. Now, I think between the two of us, we still don't make $400,000. Of course,
no.
I'm retired, so I'm, you know,
no.
But back when I wasn't retired, at least their health care is free. Well, not really. In Sweden, he says, you get the right to free health care. But whether you get it or care is a different story. And the fellow that wrote the article has friends who died in Swedish health care because they couldn't get treatment. We have folks from Canada. Oh, we've got a system like Canada's. We've got folks in Canada that come over to the States and pay full price to get medical care so they can get the care and not end up dying on a waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
So you get up there and you say you're a dentist.
Yeah.
Then you get folks assigned to you,
mm-hmm.
and then you work your shift. Let's see here. A couple of other things like that. A lot of folks don't start businesses because the rules in Europe protect the workers, so it makes it hard to fire the lazy ones. See, Kentucky is an at-will state. You know, you can be you can quit or you can be fired.
Yep.
And you have or you can work.
Mm.
But if you don't work, if you don't like your job, you can quit your job and go somewhere else.
Yep.
And if the boss doesn't like your work or you're not doing it right, he can let you know. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't get it straightened out, he can discharge you.
Yes.
A lot of states aren't quite that way. But it's, you know, in some of these countries, the government gets to decide whether you can say the person's not doing the job. So why would you hire somebody if you can't fire them if they're not doing the work? Unemployment is 50% higher in Europe than it is in the United States. So... It's, let's see, Sweden, unions. They can force utility companies to shut off power, stop garbage collection, stop banks from processing your checks. Unions can do that. They punish non-union Tesla by refusing to deliver new license plates to folks who bought a Tesla. What does that have to do with what kind of car you buy? Well, they're mad.
It's crazy.
Because it's non-union shop. So before you start wanting to make, you know, be like Europe or like Canada or something like that, you find out more about it, because you find out it's not the utopia you think it is. And being entitled to health care. You know, England discovered that one when they had folks that doctors were allowed to take X number of private patients. After that, it was only ones assigned to them. So be grateful for what we have here and protect it.
Absolutely.
And
you know, we talk about our workforce. You know, I was talking to someone, matter of fact, this morning, and a business that I stop at pretty regular in the mornings and get me some water and stuff like that. But, you know, you hear a lot of these places it's hard to find good help. You know, it's hard to find good help.
You can't find a place right now that doesn't have help wanted or hiring signs up.
And then when they find somebody, they seem like they don't want to put forth the effort to do their best. And then the ones that really work hard and love their job, they put more on them than they can handle a lot of times. You know, and that makes it rough, too, on the person that's, you know, loves their job. But then you got the ones that just care less. You know, let me tell you something. You know, I started working in, you know, radio at the age of 13. So I learned, Jim, pretty quick, you know, how to take my money and start financing some things that I knew that I wanted, like a car, and, you know, saved up money and put the gas in it, the insurance. I paid for all that, you know, myself. But I started at a young age. And I love work. I mean, I like to come here and do this, what I do here. So, I mean, you know, but I have a desire to do it, and I want to do the best I can, you know. And that's being on time and doing what I need to be, you know, be done. So, you know, it's very important. So,
well, that's the thing, is we don't have a lot of folks to teach you how to go to work. That's, you know, folks talk about working at fast food at minimum wage. So you can't make a living at that. That's not what it's for.
No.
These entry-level positions are to teach you how to go to work and to get up and go to work the next day.
That's right.
And the next day. We had a young person I know, and they worked at a very respectable place, fast food place. And but they got into a little bit of trouble because, you know, if you're working in food, they don't want you to have the stick on fingernails.
Oh, no. No.
And I think she showed up with them one time, so they had to have a little discussion about that.
And
then, but she thought, didn't think there was any problem with coming up to work late. Well, then when she came 20 minutes late for a shift, that was her problem. I think that was probably her last shift. But you learn about things like that.
Well,
we had people when I was here,
and
we had some we had to let go. And you know what? Next job that fellow went to, he was a good worker. Because he realized that if you're here, you're supposed to be doing something, not just sitting in a chair drawing time.
That's right.
But you know, so a lot of folks, you know, second job they have, they work out pretty good. We had one young fellow had to leave during the probationary period because he had a sweetheart down in Texas. And I didn't mind his heart being in Texas, but I needed his mind up here with his body. And most of those things were in Texas. Well, he went down there, and a couple of years later, my daughter ran across him at the Urbana conference, and he was he was a youth pastor out in California. So, you know, I guess when he got back down, he got his heart, mind, and body all in the same place.
He
got squared away. Sometimes you have to leave a job one way or the other. Just to learn things.
Well, Jim, let's break away and get into Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
I'm going to learn one day to do it on time.
Hi, I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope. Today, Johnny shares a very personal revelation learned after decades of quadriplegia.
You know, an odd thing happened after I passed the 47-year mark of life in a wheelchair. I realized that if I should suddenly fall into bad health, I'd not be able to complain. I reasoned, Lord, you have blessed me for these many years with a body that, although paralyzed, has been virtually free of disease and infections. So I will praise your mercies for the good things I've had, and I will praise you for the difficult things yet to come. Simply put, friend, I cannot complain. For decades, I have enjoyed amazing health as a quadriplegic. And if that should change, if suddenly I should fall into bad health, I would have no cause for whining. Frankly, I have been inspired by some of my disabled friends who, for years, have remained patient through intractable pain. Some are also paralyzed and visually impaired. A few have been abandoned by their families. These loved ones may not possess many earthly blessings, but they are rich through abundant spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. To them, God has given so much through the greatness of His mercies, and He has denied them so little. Man, that's a perspective straight from the heavenly realms. Just like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Just what are our spiritual blessings? What are those things that make life rich and worthwhile, even if you are paralyzed and a quadriplegic? Well, the most precious spiritual blessing is peace of heart and mind, peace that is profound. Another spiritual blessing is to have a soul that is settled and satisfied with God, to realize that it is worth anything, anything, to be close to Him. A spiritual blessing is an assurance of faith, a kind of wideness and depth of faith that'll see you through the toughest of trials. Spiritual blessings are the grace to let go and give, the ability to delight in your life eternal, rich and free. Spiritual blessings are the sweet knowledge that you have a home in heaven, a best friend in God. And all these things, truly, we have more than the angels. We really do. It was Martin Luther who wrote, "The sea of God's mercies should swallow up all our particular afflictions. If you pour a pail full of water on the floor, it makes a great show. But if you throw it into the sea, there is no sign of it." What does this mean? Well, afflictions considered in themselves are great, so great, that they sometimes are all we can see. But let those afflictions be considered in the sea of God's mercies, and then they are not so much. They are nothing in comparison. Friend, you have been given so much. You have been granted every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You have more than the angels. So if a sudden turn of events brings a painful trial, remember, you have no cause to complain. Rather, place your focus on Jesus and all that He has already given you. Grace to let go and give. Life eternal, rich and free. A home in heaven. A soul that is satisfied. Peace that's profound.
And don't forget, if you need a reminder or any kind of encouragement, you can always go to johnnyradio.org. There you'll find this program and many, many more. And they'll all point you to Jesus and help you understand the spiritual blessings He has for you. Lean on the Lord, my friend, and He will give you a depth of faith that will see you through the toughest of trials.
Tammy, spring's almost here, and I can feel it in the air, well, at least sometimes. But I do know this, we have an important event coming up. You know what it is?
I do. It's our annual Friend Raiser. The days are set for Tuesday and Wednesday, April 8th and 9th from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Thursday, April 10th from 6 to 9 a.m. This year's theme is Thank You, Jesus, which is a great song by Josh Baldwin.
You nailed it. This is our first of two fundraisers for Missionary Radio. We're 100% listener-funded and depend on the partnerships with our listening family. We ask you to pray and then respond.
We ask you to renew your faith pledge, and if you can, perhaps bump it up a little. Also, if you had to stop your financial support, we ask you to come back. And we are looking for new supporting friends as well.
For complete information, you may go online to missionary.radio and click on donate. Thank you for listening to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Of course, once again, Jim Dozer Adams in with us today. You doing all right today?
Yeah, I'm still doing all right. Thank you much.
Good. I'm glad you're still doing as good as you was when we came in.
We got a devotional from Bishop J.C. Ryle, who was a bishop of the Church of England right in the first part of the 20th century, and he's got a little devotional book. I actually got this through Alistair Begg's ministry.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still available or not because it was a while back. It's called Daily Readings from All Four Gospels for Morning and Evening. And it's a guy named, oh dear, faded out on the cover there.
Should be right
Robert
there.
Robert Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, good Irish name. And J.C. Ryle, R-Y-L-E, is the the guy's name if you want to chase that out. Try to find one. It's a really good devotional book. All anyhow, right. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 41 through 47. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go.
All right. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in my own name, him you will receive. How could you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
All right. Bishop Ryle writes about this. He says, we are all by nature dead in trespasses and sin. Most folks don't like that.
Oh, no. They don't like that.
Not dead. I mean, they're a little awkward maybe, but not dead. No.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah.
D-E-D, dead.
Yeah.
He continues, spiritual life is laid up for sinners in Christ alone. Well, that's so exclusive. I don't like Christianity sounds so exclusive. Yep. Take it up with God.
Mm-hmm.
It is exclusive.
Yes, it is.
To receive benefit, he writes, to receive benefit from Christ, men must come to him by faith. The real reason why men do not come to Christ and consequently die in their sins is their lack of will to come.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to.
Yep.
He didn't put that part in. I added that. Bishop Ryle, let us mark in this passage one principal cause of unbelief. The Lord Jesus says to the Jews, how can you believe which receive honor from one another and do not seek honor that comes from God only? He meant by saying that they were not honest in their religion. With all their apparent desire to hear and learn, they cared more in reality for pleasing man than God. Mm-hmm. In this state of man, they were never likely to believe. Always learning, never believing. He goes on, a deep principle is contained in this saying of our Lord's and one that deserves special attention. True faith does not depend merely on the state of man's head and understanding, but on the state of his heart. His mind may be convinced, his conscience may be pricked, but so long as there is anything the man is secretly loving more than God, there will be no true faith. I'm going to do that again. So long as there is anything that man is secretly loving more than God, there will be no true faith.
Mm.
The man himself may be puzzled and wonder why he does not believe. He does not see that he is like a child sitting on the lid of his box and wishing to open it, but not considering that his own weight keeps it shut. Let a man make sure that he honestly and really desires first the praise of God. It is the lack of an honest heart which makes many stick fast in their religion all their days and die at length without peace. Those who complain that they hear and approve and assent but make no progress and cannot get any hold on Christ should ask themselves this simple question. Am I honest? Am I sincere? Do I really desire first the praise of God, the praise from God? A little comment that the author adds on down here, editor. What is more important to you, the praise of your friends or the approval of God? It's so easy to get caught up in approval.
Sure.
Nobody wants to be disapproved. Nobody, you know, it's I guess, part of our nature.
It is.
But where we look for that approval. I'll go back to the whole thing with the president's speech in Congress. All those folks sitting down through the whole thing and holding up little tacky signs and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whose approval were they seeking? You know, for one thing, it's kind of scary that at some level there's a few folks with enough power to make everybody do the exact same thing and nobody dared to stand up.
Yeah.
Whose approval?
Yeah.
A young man who's going to die at some point in the near future, and his desire, he wanted to get 100 badges.
Mm-hmm.
He's now got 900.
Wow.
And some change. Because it's a, you know, folks got behind it. And it they use him as a symbol of perseverance and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not stand up or applaud or at least smile or wave or do something. But they're just so determined that they were going to sit down there. Who has the authority to make them do that? Whose approval are they seeking? make sure we're not doing the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
That we want the approval. You know, we sing in the choir, or maybe you read the scriptures in church, and you want to do very well. People come and say to you, oh, what a wonderful job you did with the song, or what a wonderful job you did reading. Or, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon. He said, do you remember last week's? Let me get my notes. But
well, you know, Jim, it's I sing, and last Sunday I sung a song in church, and I don't sing solo very often, and I had several people come up. Oh, you just said you should sing more, you know, and I thank people for it makes you feel good. It does. But I've never been a person to say, well, I'm going to get the big head because of all this. You know, hey, man, I'm just the best singer there ever was. And I'm not that way because I know I'm not, you know. But anyway, it does. It makes you feel good. But the thing that makes me feel better is to know that it's an approval from God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what man says
as
long as God approves of it.
I had a friend of mine, and he would sing solos occasionally. The thing that he did that I appreciated so much is when he finished the last note, he put the mic down and he left.
Yeah.
And the music hadn't faded out yet. And by the time it faded out and the folks wanted to applaud, he wasn't up there.
Yeah, it was done off.
Because he said, I didn't sing it to you guys, I sang it to God.
Yeah.
And you guys can listen in.
That's it.
But that was his sincere attitude. It wasn't a manipulation thing. I mean, folks, you do manipulate. You know, you sing a quartet. Mm-hmm. And you've seen some other quartets. You know that whole thing is scripted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, you sing the same songs and you do, you know, a little something like they got some groups that'll get together and get the harmony going. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff.
Sure.
That's just, that actually helps the congregation or the audience.
Sure, sure.
I'm talking about, you know, the guy that at some point always rips off his coat and slings it somewhere. Hey, come on.
Yeah,
I ain't coming to see you. Yeah, just don't take off anything else.
We don't want to see that.
But it's just something we have to be aware of. Not be afraid.
Yeah.
But just sometimes have to sit there and say, Lord,
mm-hmm.
am I in your way with the way I'm doing this?
Yeah, that's right.
How do you want me to handle this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want me to keep doing it? You want me to step down? And sometimes you just need to back off a little bit, step down for a while, and.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's good for pastors to be able to get to a retreat or a pastor's conference or something like that and get ministered to.
That's right. That's right.
Or have somebody, you know, get a guest preacher come in from time to time and just to give your pastor a chance to get fed.
Mm-hmm.
Because most pastors I know are carrying a really, really heavy burden in a lot of areas. So pray for your pastor. I guess I ought to throw that in about right now because you have no idea all the stuff that pastors have to.
You never know.
And they can't tell. They've got to hold it in.
Yep.
The only person I can talk to about it is God, which is, of course, the right one to talk to about
That's right. That's right.
Do that. Okay, we're about done.
Yep, we're done. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. God bless everybody.
All right.
Be careful.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.